Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. President Biden will meet Wednesday with families of Americans being held hostage by Hamas.
This will be the president's first in-person meeting with the families since Hamas's October 7th attack against Israel. Mr. Biden has spoken to some of the families on the phone. President Biden told supporters in Washington Tuesday, the U.S. will not stop until every hostage, including Americans, is back home again. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, The White House.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was in Washington to meet with President Biden and congressional leaders as he presses for more military support in his country's defense against Russia's invasion. More from CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
President Zelensky also said while his country's made gains on the ground, it now wants to beef up the air war, something the U.S. has been reluctant to do. But Zelensky warned, quote, whoever controls the skies controls the war's duration.
Four women have testified during a Senate hearing on sexual assault and harassment at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy. CBS's Scott McFarland says they told senators the Coast Guard covered it up.
Caitlin Morrow says she was sexually harassed and assaulted repeatedly, including by a classmate, at the Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut in 2004.
He would assault me during swim class. He would swim up underwater, grab any body, part of my body that he pleased.
In an internal Coast Guard survey last year, more than half of women reported suffering sexual harassment, and nearly one in seven reported unwanted sexual conduct.
There's still no final agreement in place at the UN climate conference in Dubai. Some nations and climate scientists say a draft doesn't go far enough in preventing the worst effects of climate change. CBS News senior national and environmental correspondent Ben Tracy is following.
We are already at 1.3 degrees of warming, so the odds of keeping it below 1.5 are very slim right now. We're on track for about twice as much warming as 1.5, about 3 degrees Celsius.
Researchers say the runways at San Francisco's main airport are sinking at a rate of about 0.4 of an inch a year. CBS News Bay Area reporter Max Darrow.
According to researchers Oluwaseyi Idaso and Manucher Shirzai of Virginia Tech, those runways are sinking.
This is just a warning for the future, and that future is not that far.
They'll present their findings this week at the AGU 23 conference put on by the American Geophysical Union.
Voters in Oklahoma City have approved a 1% six-year sales tax to fund a new downtown arena for the NBA's Thunder. Because the tax was approved, the team will stay in the city through at least 2050. Some residents, however, aren't happy that the team's owners are paying only about 5% of the cost of the new arena. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin's Board of Regents is going for a do-over on a vote to unfreeze money for pay raises and building new buildings. They had rejected a deal between System President Jay Rothman and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on Saturday. The Board of Regents will meet again Wednesday to vote on the same deal. In exchange for the money, the system would repurpose over 40 positions related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Republican leaders on Tuesday said that the four unconfirmed regents could see their jobs on the line regardless of how they voted on Saturday. Governor Evers is encouraged by the possibility of more Amtrak service in Wisconsin. The state is getting $2 million from Washington to study increasing passenger train opportunities from the Twin Cities to Chicago up to the Fox Valley. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Packers lose in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers were the first to score late in the first quarter, but then let it slip away, losing 24-22 to the Giants. Quarterback Jordan Love lost a fumble and later threw an interception.
Yeah, it was a bad read. Kind of got hung up too long, just held my eyes kind of to the left a little too long. Safety was able to play over the top, and just not a good read, not a good ball.
New York quarterback Tommy DeVito led the Giants on a fourth-quarter comeback. Head coach Brian Daboll.
Yeah, it's his job. Third game of over 100 quarterback rating. Made good decisions, took care of the ball, used him in a run game. Kid's done a good job.
NBA, the Bucks game went into overtime, but they beat the Bulls 133-129. Giannis Antetokounmpo with 32 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists.
He was moving the ball, sharing the ball, making the right play.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, partly cloudy skies and light winds. By daybreak, temperatures close to the 20-degree mark. On your Wednesday, any morning clouds will give way to sunshine. Highs will top out in the upper 30s, close to the 40-degree mark with light south winds. Right now, it's 19.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition of Happier Happy Hour. Dom, I've seen some new news. I was unaware of this news. Carol Linning from the Washington Post went on MSNBC today, and here's what she reported. Donald Trump apparently confessing he wanted what the January 6th protesters wanted. Could speak to, let's say, motive.
Mindset,
Dom.
Yes.
Washington Post reporter Carol Linning revealed on MSNBC that when meeting with Donald Trump, he confessed he was on board with the January 6th protesters attacking the U.S. Capitol. I remember my co-author and I, when we wrote a book about the last year of Donald Trump's presidency, we went to visit him and interview him on the record. He was no longer president, but he was in Mar-a-Lago. And we asked him, what did you want to happen? And that day he said, I wanted what the protesters wanted. I wanted what they wanted, which was essentially to break into the Capitol and stop the certification of the vote. The intent was critical. The conversation about the recent revelations that special counsel Jack Smith obtained Donald Trump's cell phone to search for evidence related to the 2020 election overthrow attempt. So the first thing you use this for is the same way you used it. I used to use telephone records, says NYU law professor and former FBI general counsel Andrew Weissman. And you can be sure that both on January 6th and the days leading up to it and the days after, the prosecution's going to want to present to a jury very precise details about exactly what happened. Oh, I think they're starting to get the receipts together, Dom. And then on the speculative part, which Carol started alluding to, it could be that we learn who he spoke to. We see images on that phone, for instance, of what he's seeing and what was happening in the Capitol. Ooh, Dom, what if they were sending him pictures during the January 6th? What if there's metadata? What if the photos
there is
sitting
there
on
is
his phone?
Metadata. Of course there's metadata. I mean, there's tons of metadata. I mean, that's how they got this God hypnotic, right? I mean, a lot of that was metadata. Of course, he did take his porn mask off occasionally, but there's tons of metadata.
Never take off your porn mask, Don.
Never do that. The interview reminded me. There's the White House call logs happened to be missing for like 8 hours during that day, right? So, and there's also, you know, mentions of burner phones and all those kind of whatever. Donald Trump, his phone was grabbed, and they got some expert, you know, going through that, trying to figure out what Trump knew and when he knew it. I mean, come on. These phones we carry around with us provide all sorts of information to those who would like to find out how we're living our lives and what we're doing. So given the resources of the government and given the consequence of what happened, I guarantee you they're going to find all sorts of things on Donald Trump's phone.
Dominic, if I recall, and I think Trump's even trying to use it as a legal pleading, double jeopardy. He was impeached over his actions on January 6th, right? That was the rationale for the second impeachment, impeachment 2.0. Yeah. Well, here's another intriguing headline I just want to throw out there before I try to make a point, put a bow on it for you, Dom.
All right.
Trump got cash from 12 countries. Dem fact checks GOP at impeachment hearing. Now, you brought this one to my attention, Dom, and I'd like to bring it back to yours and that of the audience. As House Republicans race to cobble together legislation to open a formal impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden, Democrats are pointing to ex-President Donald Trump, who appears to have engaged in the same activity the GOP is accusing the current president of. Really the same? I'd say much, much worse, but let's read a little farther down, Dom. Republicans who are pushing to hold an impeachment inquiry vote claim that Biden took money from foreign countries via his son Hunter's business dealings. They have, as some Republicans admit, found no direct proof of their allegations. They just lack for the evidence, Dom. That's why they need the impeachment inquiry, so then they can subpoena Joe Biden and get the evidence, so then they can impeach Joe Biden. That's step two. Get the evidence. They're looking for the evidence. But as U.S. Rep. Teresa Lager Fernandez, Democrat from New Mexico, told House Republicans during the Rules Committee markup of the legislation today, Trump actually did take money from foreign countries during his time as president, a claim even Republicans have not made about Biden. So no one's claiming yet, although they're inferring, that Biden actually received any direct money. They're saying, oh, no, you know, shell corporations laundered money. It all came through Hunter's accounts. That's what they claimed, Dom. While referring to Hunter Biden's former business partner, Devin Archer, who testified in a closed-door session before the House Oversight Committee, Congresswoman Fernandez explained, if you actually look at that transcript, Mr. Archer was very clear that while the father, Joe Biden, may have talked to his son, they never, ever talked about business. That was my understanding of the testimony of Archer as well, Dom. A little bit more here. They never, ever talked about financial matters, she continued. And in contrast, when we were looking at issues about family business, I'd like to enter into the record, Mr. Chairman. I seek to consent to enter into the record. And she handed off a piece of evidence, apparently, that says Trump's taxes show foreign income from more than a dozen countries.
What? Oh, my goodness. They better get on that, those Republicans. Cody, I'll jump in. Rep. Fernandez appeared to be referring to a Politico article from December of 2022 that said, Donald Trump's tax returns show the former president received income from more than a dozen countries during his time in office, highlighting a string of potential conflicts of interest. Indeed, Trump's returns, Politico had added, disclosed income from 2015 to 2020 from a wide range of foreign countries, including Canada, Panama, the Caribbean island of St. Martin, the Philippines, the United Arab Emirates, and the United Kingdom, among others. Fernandez explained, I think this is our objection. I think that it is important. You are making a big deal of the fact that Joe Biden, as a private citizen, a lot of these things that you're talking about actually happened when Joe Biden was a private citizen, but more importantly, that his brother and son were separate. They did not have their business, were not commingled. It's very clear from the evidence that they were separate. They were not the same. In contrast, we know from this article, the Politico article, that says Trump's tax returns show foreign income. Donald Trump's tax returns show the former president received income from more than a dozen countries during his time in office, she said, emphasizing the fact that some of the income came while Donald Trump was president.
Well, he wouldn't be a private citizen then, right, Dom?
No, seemingly not. No. And if you hand off all of your, you know, the trust, the organization, the responsibilities to the eldest son, the son and the other son, well, then why would you be taking any money whatsoever, man? Shouldn't the trust be getting that revenue?
Well, Dom, we won't talk about the perfect phone call with Zelensky and Trump's opposition to what, handing off the weapons needed to fend off the Russians, because many of his Republican colleagues right now, they're kind of taking that very same attitude, right? Ukraine's cut off in the current sense. That was the cause for the first impeachment. Well, let's hear what the Speaker Mike Johnson has to say at this time in current history, Dom, because now it's their turn in the barrel. And they think they're going to go impeach or what, set up this legislation minus Santos, and they're going to have the sufficient votes, and they're going to bring along all the moderate Republicans, and they're going to vote, which they didn't do under Kevin McCarthy, right? Kevin just made a proclamation. We've opened an impeachment inquiry. Do you have a vote? No. Now they're planning on having a vote.
What tomorrow.
What if the vote fails? As it probably will.
I mean, why would you have the vote if you don't know you have the votes, right?
Have you met this Republican Party? Did you see the 15 times it took to make Kevin McCarthy the speaker before they fired his ass and moved through like four other alternatives before they settled on this despicable current speaker? Moses Mike Johnson. Yes. MAGA Mike. Well, in setting the stage, Dom, I only hope to contrast what Mike Johnson said about the prior impeachment actions. If we could start there, let's do it, Nate.
It's not a political calculation.
Speaker Mike Johnson.
Following the law, and we are the rule of law team, and I'm going to hold to that. That's my commitment.
And I'm going to take you very seriously, because it's difficult for me to do so, Dom. But
just, we are the rule of law team, because you say it. It must be so.
More
if you say it with conviction, it is absolutely so.
He's strongly convicted, Dom.
Very strong and powerful. Very strong. Mega Mike, number five. Can't prejudge, please, Nate.
People have feelings about it one way or the other. We can't prejudge the outcome. The Constitution does not permit us to do so. We have to follow the truth where it takes us, and that is exactly what we're going to do.
Really? Really, really? Because I thought there'd be some evidence of something before you actually opened an impeachment inquiry or whatever you're doing to enable yourself to force the will of your subpoenas against the Biden administration so you can go find the evidence so you have something to actually impeach about. Again, this seems very, very backward-ass to me, putting the cart before the horse. If you had some evidence.
This is a witch hunt. This is the worst thing in American history. Nobody's ever seen anything like this before. It's presidential. It's presidential election interference. Total witch hunt. Right? I mean, if we're going to play the game, then isn't that what Biden should be saying and everybody should be saying? But no, you know what I said? Like I told dude yesterday. There's something there. Okay, man. I don't want corruption in anybody, man. So Biden's corrupt. Bring him up. Hunter Biden, you did what you did. You didn't pay your taxes. That's fine. Go after him. I got no love for that. But how do you possibly be the rule of law team? We're the rule of law team. That's what we are. Oh, okay. But you're totally fine with the revenue and the money that Trump took in. You're totally fine with the insurrection that Trump fomented. You're totally fine with trying to overturn the election. You're totally fine with the $2 billion that Jared got from the Saudis from Bonesaw. You're totally fine with all those things. But Hunter's computer from hell.
You know, there were naked pictures of Hunter. Such a bad man, that Hunter. Yeah. Come back, Devil's Advocates, couple of bad men, and you on the phones. 844-967-2789.
This is 93.5 The Tap, the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you, you've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
If I could be you...
And you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way...
To get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out.
And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We're going to get to the lines, we promise, 844-967-2789.
When we get into the Rudy Giuliani sound, because he's in court this week as well, Dom. You know, did verify, Nate and I wanted to verify. We try to get it right as often as possible around here, sometimes breaking news. But we had this excellent conversation with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel yesterday. And I was less clear until I went back and verified it. The finding of defamation has already been found against Rudy, much like the fraud trial. I heard Jim alluding to that yesterday. I'm like, really? He's already guilty?
Right. Now it's about how much.
And he showed up 20 minutes late at a trial for which
still
he's
talking trash. Yeah.
Been found guilty. And they're seeking to affirm how much in damages. And his attorney, you know, who allowed his client to show up 20 minutes late for this court appearance yesterday, says it would be a financial death penalty. The, what, $43-63 million they're seeking from Rudy? Anyways, Don, Rudy, he's also on the docket.
Yeah, we got some sound. You want to throw it out there? We brought it up. Let's hear it. I have
be
not
patient,
yet
callers.
Heard.
Well, yeah, oh, we'll you're going to like Rudy. I don't know what order we have these in. I didn't enumerate them properly, but
we got three cuts. When I testify, everything I said was true and no regrets.
Let's just play them in the order there here on the paper.
All right,
Nate
let's
did the
it.
Hard
Nate,
work.
Yeah,
defendant
man.
Rudy Giuliani. When I testify, Rudy.
When I testify, you'll get the whole story, and it will be definitively clear that what I said was true.
So what he said was true. Okay, but wait till the end here, because I have heard these. Let's play cut two, please.
Whatever happened to them, which is, it's unfortunate if other people overreacted, but everything I said about them is true.
Everything he said about the poll workers in Georgia is true, according to Rudy, outside court today, a court in which he's been found guilty of defaming these aforementioned poll
like
workers.
Trump and the E. Jean Carroll, he continues to defame. Right?
Oh, it gets better, Dom, because he's got no regrets. Play cut three.
Do you regret what you did to Rudy?
Of course Sammy? I don't regret. I told the truth. They were engaged in changing votes.
There's no proof of that.
Oh, you're damn right there is. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we're going to have our Obamacare replacement in 2 weeks. I mean, these guys, they're like, this is like a cult. Like the guy who's going to ascend to heaven, you know, doesn't on the day he's going to ascend, doesn't do it, but they all just go back to the crib and hang out and wait for the next proclamation. It never comes to fruition.
You realize the court has already found he's defamed these Georgia poll workers. The evidence he claims he has, too late for that evidence. You've already been found guilty, effectively, of the defamation, this being a civil suit.
It's going to be
suit.
Such powerful evidence that's going to overturn the guilty plea. What, it's how powerful and specific it's going to be.
Is he going to throw in the Dominion software and Smartmatic for good measure? Right. Just to see if he could lose all the money he could make over the next three lifetimes? You know, he's going to be living in Alex Jones's basement pretty soon. 844-967-2789. What did Alex Jones say? I will eat your ass.
He's back on Twitter, baby.
Joe from Madison, welcome back. You're on the Devil's Advocates once again.
Hello, Joe.
Well, I think Rudy
Hi, guys. I think Rudy Giuliani's lawyer may be living in the basement, too. That poor guy, just listening to your client go off on a tangent you know will only cause problems. And speaking of only causing problems, I wanted to return to Ron Johnson because always he's a lot of fun. And, of course, you were speaking of the wonderful interview he had with the CNN reporter.
Caitlin Collins.
In the last hour. Thank you. And when challenged on his comments that the Dems did fake electors too, her response was, well, where's the evidence? You were talked about whether you went into a discussion about whether the fake electors really knew what they were doing or not was illegal. And you brought up the fact that, maybe the 10 in Wisconsin might have garnered a clue or two when the locked building, the state capitol, was open for them under armed guard and they were told to keep quiet. But I wanted to add one more item to that, and that was a text that was sent by one of the fake Wisconsin electors. His name is Daryl Carlson, and this text was brought out, and he's a perfect example of not understanding the idea that the internet is forever, because he texted one of the other fake electors and said that, speaking of the people who put this whole thing together, said they don't want a technicality to mess up the possible steal. So he uses the word steal, and I just think, God, Daryl, God love you. You know, you might want to think about your word choice a little bit more.
Joe, do you recall what the young Wisconsin GOP staffer who was tasked with delivering the false Wisconsin, electors out to D.C. to the vice president, presumably? She texted, I believe it was Andrew Hitt, but I don't know precisely who the recipient was. Feels like a drug deal. And you know who probably the recipient of those false Trump electors? Ron Johnson, or one of his staffers.
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
Right? Because Ron was the conduit trying to make the delivery to the vice president. Ron had the vial of the heroin or the cocaine or whatever Rudy's accusing the poll workers in Georgia of, clandestinely doing to change the votes. Well, Ron was showing up with false electors. And the girl that was supposed to deliver him to Ron said, feels like a drug deal.
Well, he is kind of a liberal in his use of drugs. Isn't he the guy during the COVID time who said, I don't know which drug works, something along that line. Why don't you try them all?
Try all the drugs.
Try all the drugs. Joe.
But not marijuana. Somebody asked him one time and he just had to make up his mind. And he just decided he's against marijuana. Because that's our
run. All the ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine you want, Joe. Thank you for the call. 844-967-2789. Let's squeeze in Mark. Hey, Mark. You're up.
Hey, Mark.
Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Well, is Alex Jones even going to have a basement after his bankruptcy? After he's denied using bankruptcy to shield the billions he's got to pay out. I saw today that Alex, the chief financial officer for Project Veritas has quit because there's so much criminality going on in that organization. So yep. little Mr. O'Keefe is might be going down too. And then the question I posed, I actually texted it, that since they used armed guards, since there's already a security presence in the Capitol, they shouldn't have needed any armed guards. They're using armed guards, private security. Who paid for that? And isn't that use of firearms in the commission of a felony? And shouldn't that be a sweetener for whatever sentence these guys get?
Hey, man, Mark, I appreciate the way your mind works, but I'd just be happy if Josh Call would prosecute the false electors, and perhaps the ringleaders, guys like Jim Troupas, Kenneth Cheesebro. I mean, if you got to make a deal with Cheesebro to take down Troupas, I'd make that trade. Rook for a queen. More Devil's Advocates. You can always be a part. 844-967-2789. I don't know who added this to the Peaches song.
This keeps happening.
I will eat your ass.
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. President Biden appears to be tiring of Israel's actions in Gaza, says CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
In a private fundraiser for his re-election campaign, the president criticized the Israeli leader, saying, quote, he has to change, and that Netanyahu's government is making it difficult for Israel to accept an eventual Palestinian state.
What are the chances Congress will approve tens of billions more aid for Ukraine? CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The Capitol is still oozing with pessimism. Even if Senate negotiators can pull something out, and negotiators told us they're still weeks away, likely, from getting a deal, the hardliners in the U.S. House may not go for it.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky met Tuesday with President Biden and members of Congress. The Senate heard testimony about sexual assault and harassment at the Coast Guard Academy. Former cadet Caitlin Merrill.
The bullying and the retaliation it's crushing.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin property taxes are expected to see its largest increase since the Great Depression next year, though most homeowners probably won't feel it. That's according to the nonpartisan research group, the Wisconsin Policy Forum. The total property tax jump will come out to almost 5%, but two state tax credits included in this year's state budget will bring down how much homeowners actually pay. All three of Wisconsin's veterans' homes are getting federal grants through the state to hire nurses and keep them on the job. The grants to the long-term care homes in King, Union Grove, and Chippewa Falls add up to almost $733,000. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says Wisconsin has been losing nurses at almost twice the rate as the rest of the country. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, partly cloudy skies and light winds. By daybreak, temperatures close to the 20-degree mark. On your Wednesday, any morning clouds will give way to sunshine. Highs will top out in the upper 30s, close to the 40-degree mark with light south winds. It's 21 at our studios.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripescast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
the devil's advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday Happier Happy Hour. Got some more Rudy Giuliani news. Washington Post, Aaron Blake. Giuliani's wild reversal and a contagious disrespect for the rule of law. But before we get there, Dom, I don't know if you saw this breaking news. The Journal Sentinel informs me the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents has scheduled a redo vote on the terroristic deal with Robin Voss. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock, they're going to vote again. And seemingly, this would indicate that there might be a change in what the outcome of the vote would be. Last time, it was 9-8 to defeat this deal. And I was supportive of the Board of Regents. I can certainly understand why some would have troubled hearts over this, because this is a doing a deal with the terrorist. But quickly, from the coverage at the Journal Sentinel, here's what I can tell you at this hour. The University of Wisconsin System Board of Regents is calling for a do-over, Dom. The board is scheduled to vote 5 p.m. Wednesday on the same deal it rejected Saturday. It will be the board's fifth meeting in a chaotic 7 days. 5-7. That's more meetings than we have around here, Dom.
Wow, that sounds like work.
A deal brokered by UW System President Jay Rothman with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called for restructuring 43 diversity positions and freezing jobs through 2026. In exchange, universities would receive $800 million for pay raises and building projects, including an engineering building for UW-Madison. Dom, the six-month standoff with the Republican-controlled legislature, terrorists that they are, Crudy's edition, over the campus diversity programs hit an impasse Saturday with the board's stunning 9-8 rejection of the agreement. The vote was criticized by conservatives and praised by liberals like Crudy. To call a meeting Wednesday to vote on the same proposal indicates at least one board member wants to change their vote. The resolution, we know who's in the for it column. Bogost, B-O-G-O-S-T, is a Tony Evers appointee and the board's vice president, Amy Bogost. She voted against the deal on Saturday, but now she is one of the four members calling for this new vote. So one must question whether or not she's had a change of heart on this, Dom. Hanging in the balance? Rothman's job, potentially. In the days leading up to Saturday's meeting, he floated resigning from his job if the vote failed. According to the UW, Rothman has neither confirmed nor denied the account to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He declined to comment when asked by reporters Tuesday. Here's what he said. We had a closed session, and I'm not at liberty to speak about what happened in the closed session, but apparently they're going to vote again tomorrow. Do-over, 5 p.m. tomorrow. We'll give you the answer. What is the outcome of that vote? I would hope during the course of the Devil's Advocates during tomorrow's Happier Happy Hour.
Interesting. Well, we had a caller yesterday, employee of the UW system. You know, this is a battle. This is a struggle for folks, of course, not getting, you know, cost of living increases, that impacts people's bottom line. And, you know, when you have to choose between, you know, feeding your family, perhaps, and supporting, you know, DEI and building buildings with the UW, you know, it's a tough choice. I get it. And everyone's got to make their own choice. But obviously, with another scheduled vote, presumably they're going to accept.
Presumably. We didn't see Saturday's vote coming, though, did we, Dom? Didn't warn you that one was coming. Phone lines always open here, toll free. Nothing to warn you about. No cost to you. 844-967-2789. The text lines, they're also open. You can use the shiny Civic Media app to text us at any time during the show. But Dom, back to Giuliani and Aaron Blake at the Post. Got to get a little of this out here for your consideration. When the full history of the Trump era is written, one of the defining themes will be the erosion of respect for the rule of law. Faced with the continued domination of their party by a man who is at the very least flouts the law and attributes any legal scrutiny of himself to nefarious actors, Republicans have gradually embraced a strategy of backstopping his claims. That most often involves baseless and speculative conspiracy theories Hopefully you were around during segment one. We heard from Ron Johnson.
You know that guy, right?
About the political weaponization of the government and the legal system, Dom. And Republicans who initially balked at Donald Trump's claims that the Russia investigation was a witch hunt have now fed the idea that Trump's indictments are indeed part of one. They've gone from repudiating January 6 rioters to promoting the idea that they were legitimate protesters and even being politically targeted by the Justice Department. They've gone after virtually every major law enforcement figure, even Republican ones such as Robert Mueller, the last two FBI directors, and U.S. Attorney David Weiss, who acts in a way that could be politically adverse. But rarely has this contagious disrespect for the rule of law been as conspicuous as it is right now with Rudy Giuliani. This guy, the former New York mayor and Trump lawyer, appears to be facing financial ruin thanks to his false claim that a pair of Georgia election workers helped rig the 2020 election. Giuliani has already been found liable in civil court for defaming the women, Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss, with the trial beginning this week. It's begun, to determine how much he'll be forced to pay them. As the matter was progressing towards trial, Giuliani appeared resigned to his fate. In an effort to beg off his obligations to provide evidence in the case, he signed a statement indicating he would no longer contest that his statements were false and defamatory. So he's already consented or acknowledged, confessed that he did it, right? And we heard Rudy in court today, or at least outside the court, claiming they did it, making the same defamatory claims again in a public setting that he has already pled effectively guilty to, just waiting for the sentencing phase. Effectively, they're having a trial about how bad it should hurt.
On the damages, Crudy, the judge later ruled that they were false and defamatory, these statements that Giuliani made.
Hey, you take that back.
Giuliani. But now Giuliani is pulling a remarkable public about-face. In an interview outside the courthouse Monday night, Giuliani claimed everything I said about them, the two women, is true. Of course, I don't regret it. I told the truth. They were engaged in changing votes. When it was pointed out that there remains no proof of that, Giuliani responded, "You're damn right there is. Stay tuned." Yeah, man, Giuliani, man, he's going to break the case. The time for making this argument, of course, passed long ago, as we referenced, Crudy. That Giuliani's statements were false and defamatory has been decided. Giuliani proactively declined to try to argue that in court. The judge in the case issued a swift rebuke on Tuesday morning, saying Giuliani's statement might support a new defamation claim and questioning whether Giuliani would follow court orders when testifying. Giuliani's lawyer struggled to account for his client's actions, suggesting his advanced age was a factor.
What about the booze? I've heard there's been a lot of boozing, but, you know, that's just an allegation.
Maybe it's there's some chemicals in the hair dye. Whatever the case, it's clear Giuliani would very much like the public to believe that he was actually right without going through the trouble of actually proving it. A man who rose to political prominence as a swashbuckling prosecutor is brazenly flouting the legal process. This is very much the story of the big lie. Its promoters, including Trump and Giuliani, routinely presented wild, stolen election claims that were often instantly debunked, as was the case with the claims about Georgia election workers. Then, when faced with legal scrutiny of those claims, they have often backed off them rather than present any real evidence. This includes many Trump lawyers, not just Giuliani, but also Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis. But regularly, they pitch this not as a recognition that their claims were false, but rather as a necessary response to legal pressure. Ellis cut a deal in Colorado to avoid disbarment in which she admitted to 10 specific misrepresentations, but she quickly blamed political lawfare to intimidate lawyers. Powell declined to back up her claims in her own legal proceedings and even pleaded guilty in the Georgia election subversion case in which Trump and Giuliani are also indicted. But she has continued to promote stolen election claims, and her organization's newsletter has fed the idea that her guilty plea was extorted. The sum total of all of it is that people who are inclined to subscribe to the big lie that the election was stolen are being invited to believe that the utter legal repudiation of that argument is immaterial, that these people haven't proved their false and baseless claims 3 years later and are paying the price. It's not due to those claims' falsity and baselessness, but rather it's a result of a nefarious actor targeting those who would dare question their efforts to overturn the election. It should be no surprise then that so many Americans continue to falsely believe the election was stolen. As many as 7 in 10 Republicans and 4 in 10 Americans overall. As many as half of them concede there's no solid evidence of this, but they've gone on believing it all the same. Nor should it be any surprise that 84% of Trump supporters say they would still vote for him, even as a felon. 84%!
Even if he shot a man on Fifth Avenue, Dom, he wouldn't lose a single vote. That's what he claimed. He was right.
The legal remedies against an ugly effort to thwart American democracy have been exercised in significant ways, but they've done little to reduce that fever. That's not just thanks to those who remain truly committed to the political advantages of the big lie, like Giuliani and Trump, but also to those who have created the permission structure for their supporters to believe it's all part of a grand conspiracy. It looks increasingly as though the casualties of the big lie could include not just those who bet their careers and livelihoods on it, but also the regard for the rule of law holding them to account. Oh, Rudy Giuliani, how we have fallen. Aaron Blake writing over at the Washington Post.
Well, Dom, I feel like that's why we're here banging this drum nearly every single day. It's because you got to respect the rule of law. I've been on the wrong side of the law before.
Once or twice.
Charged. Never.
But this is as we discussed with Jim yesterday, though. I mean, what is the consequence of you know, the Supreme Court ruling in favor of Donald Trump? Donald Trump could go and...
You mean presidential immunity?
Yes, yeah, absolute presidential immunity forever on anything while in office. I mean, that's the position. And, of course, double jeopardy, because what, you got impeached? Now, literally, he could. If that's the case, then the president could murder all of his political opponents, and there'd be no legal recourse for anybody to do anything about it. Dictator on day one. All it takes is a day for the purge. And that's what they're supporting. That's what they believe. That's what Trump thinks. And this is what the Republicans are endorsing.
Well, they don't ever fathom the fact that, you know, by their logic, Joe Biden could go get a gun and take out, what, about a half a dozen Supreme Court justices and just start filling the positions.
And just reappoint. Oh, hey, presidential immunity, absolute immunity.
I mean, is that what we want?
Well, of course, it's a joke on its face, but they're out there pushing this thing. 844-967-2789. Let's get Chris from Rice Lake in. Welcome, Chris. What do you got for us?
Hey, Chris.
Hi, guys. How's it going today?
Excellent, sir.
Good, sir.
So let me ask you guys, and I want you guys to be honest with me and with everybody else that's listening. Do you really believe that these people are going to pay anything in any kind of restitution? I mean, nobody's losing law licenses. Alex Jones is not going to lose his house. He's not going to lose his radio business. He's already back on Twitter. Giuliani's not going to lose his license. Jenna Ellis didn't lose her license. Nobody's going to lose anything. They're going to go right on with life like nothing ever happened.
Chris, I might agree with you, except Donald Trump's already paying financial penalties for his last loss in court, the E. Jean Carroll. In fact, he misled the courts because he's under conservatorship. He had to move cash so he could pay the defamation suit from E. Jean Carroll. So that was at least $5 million he's paid out to date. He's also got like 2 stacked up additional defamation cases. And I do believe if Rudy has any financial resources left to his name, Chris, I think they're all going to get bled by the courts. You cannot avoid the federal courts. If a judgment is ruled, Chris, he's never going to get away from the judgment.
Yeah, but can't they all just shop it around until they find a friendly judge? And the judge is
not
saying,
as
well,
a defendant,
you know,
per se, sir. I mean, I don't know.
I really wish that these guys would pay, or these people would pay through the nose, but I just don't see it happening.
Chris, don't harsh my buzz, man. Come on, it's a happier happy hour. Yes, there's going to be consequences. They're going to be financial, and they're going to be harsh.
They got to be coming soon, man. Justice denied. Justice delayed is justice denied. And, you know, I'd rather owe it to you forever than never pay you. They got to get their comeuppance. I mean, if Rudy's got to lose it all and go on the streets and live in Alex Jones' basement, then so be it.
Come back, more Devils. 844-967-2789.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Todd Almost Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the Wright Bauer for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Hey, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, you can hit us up right now on the lines at 844-967-2789. Crudy, I gotta get this one out there as well. Also from the Roar story, white supremacists who dine with Trump's calls for the death penalty for non-Christians. I mean, it's not very often I get, you know, big racists calling for my murder, Crudy, but last year, Donald Trump dined with two anti-Semites, Kanye West and Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes at his Mar-a-Lago resort and residence drawing massive outrage while revealing to many Americans for the first time who Fuentes is: a white supremacist, Christian nationalist, anti-LGBTQ authoritarian extremist who supports America's Trump's America First doctrine.
And he also hates the atheists like you, Don. The pagans. And
everybody. His live stream on his Sunday show titled "The Great Replacement" is about white genocide. Fuentes called for the death penalty for non-Christians, according to Right Wing Watch. I mean, I hate to give the guy any airplay, but I think it's important because this is a guy who had former President Donald Trump's ear. You know what I'm saying? This guy has lots of followers out there. So if you got any kids in the car, you know, maybe do the earmuffs, because this guy is an ass, but you've been warned. It's been qualified. It's been cut. Nate did the work. Let's hear what the white nationalist, anti-LGBTQ, authoritarian extremists had to say.
There is an occult element at the high levels of society, and specifically among the Jews. So many of the people that are perpetrating the occult lies and the destruction on the country, they are evildoers. They are people that worship false gods. They are people that practice magic or rituals or whatever.
Magic.
And more than anything,
you got a Ouija board.
Need to be, when we take power, they need to be given the death penalty.
What?
Straight up.
Straight.
And I'm far more concerned about that than I am about even non-white people or mass migration. These people that are communing with demons and engaging in this sort of witchcraft and stuff, and these people that are suppressing the name Christ and suppressing Christianity, they must be absolutely annihilated when we take power. This is God's country. This is Jesus's country. This is not the domain of atheists or devil worshipers or perfidious Jews. This is Christ's country.
Yeah, it is Christ's country. Christ, what are you talking about? Wow, and this guy, Nick Fuentes, this authoritarian, this Trump supporter, thinks if you don't believe what he believes and they take power, they want you dead. Death penalty.
Seems harsh.
Trump will only be a dictator on day one. That's it. Just one day. Let's hope he's not dining with Nick Fuentes that day. 844-967-2789. Kathy from Madison, you are next. Welcome, Kathy. What do you got for us?
Hi, Kathy.
Well, hi. Oh, this last caller is horrifying. I mean, our country is supposed to be for freedom of religion, from religion, of any religion, et cetera. But anyway, I was calling and referring to the next to the last caller, in referring to Rudy Giuliani. I think he already lost his law license, didn't he?
He may have been disbarred in at least one state. I think he's got the ability to practice law in multiple states, or at least he did.
Oh, probably not in New York or something. I don't know. Well, anyway, I knew there was an issue there. That's all. Enjoying your show. Carry on, boys. Thank you.
We'll do our best, Kathy. 844.
Carry on.
967-2789. You carry on and join us if you'd care to. Still some time for your calls today. I can't get my little joystick working here, Don. You're going to have to help me out.
Over here.
Help a brother out.
Wisco Paul, you are up. Welcome, Paul. What do you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. You know, this election thing is went on for so long, it's pretty easy to believe that other than the low-hanging fruit, nothing's going to happen to these other guys. What's really spooky out there is all the Trump followers. I actually know some people that are, believe it or not, that are still on board with Trump, and I just choose not. There's no talking to them. It's just.
I bet some can
thing.
Hear you right now on the radio, Wisco Paul.
Oh, yeah. There's a few of them that know I come on the radio, but there's no talking to them. You know, it's futile. They don't believe, and they could listen to. The other view, and they just refuse to believe it. It's an amazing thing. And my last thing here today, Crudy and Dom, more so Crudy because he lives in the same area as me, the Board of Regents, I think they're going to flip their vote and I because of the wage things, and Voss is really holding them hostage, the shadow governor, but I think they're going to flip because of the, like the lady you had on yesterday that going to retire and the wages and everything. I mean, it's just so anyway, just your input on Crudy. I think they're going to flip, and hey, great show. You always have great shows. Some just may be a little bit better than other ones. Thanks.
Depends on whether or not you call in, Wisco.
Make it a great baby. Thank
you. Are the litmus test of excellence most days. 844-967-2789. Kathy wondered if Rudy Giuliani had been disbarred in the D.C. district. He has been, or at least there was a recommendation of disbarment, Washington, D.C. 844-967-2789. I think the joystick's working. Jim from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Jim. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
So if Trump was immune in the 4 years, that means Biden would be immune for everything. So when he debates Biden, if he becomes that, couldn't Biden just take him out for us and be done with it?
Why? Who needs election day? Let's do duels. Only you don't get to bring a pistol.
Jim, that's the whole point. It's just obscene. It's ridiculous on its face.
I know. That's why I was calling in to bring this point across. If they really all believe this crap, you know, that means any president is immune from anything if it truly goes through.
Real quick, Stevie, Highway 41, driving Steve. You got like the last 30 seconds, sir.
Hey, Stevie.
Okay, so, well, it's okay, guys.
Or ma'am.
That was kind of sexist. It's okay.
That's Crudy. So, I'm dumb. Go ahead.
The recording guy, what a F-tart. Anyway, did he say Perfidia? Isn't that a song in Forever Plaid? Did you guys ever see that live show? Did he say Perfidia?
I have no idea, Stevie.
Oh, I thought he said Perfidia. I was like, what the hell does that even mean? I thought it was a name in Forever Plaid. Anyway, so love you guys. Thanks.
Awesome, Stevie. You're our favorite female voice, Stevie, that I've talked to today. I'll never make the mistake again. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Santas Without Chimneys, Chaos and Corey.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the